I would like to speak today from one of the essential verses of Bhagavad Gita. This verse is from the chapter 2, text number 29, where Krishna speaks about the amazing soul. Not the amazing Spider-Man, but the amazing soul. I will read the text in Sanskrit and English. Ashcharyavat pasyati kashchidenam ashcharyavat vadati tathaiva chanya ashcharyavat chaina manya shinoti shrutvapienam vedana chaiva kashchit. Please listen carefully. These are the purifying words of the Supreme Personality of God. Some look on the soul as amazing, others describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. Purport of Srila Prabhupada. Since Gita Upanishad is largely based on the principles of the Upanishads, it is not surprising to find also this passage in the Katha Upanishad 1-7. Shravanyapi bhavubir yona labhya shinvatupi bhavatu bhavahu yam navidya ascharyo bhakta kushalo silabda ascharyasya gyata kushalanai shita. The fact that the atomic soul is within the body of a gigantic animal, in the body of a gigantic banyan tree, and also in the microbic germs, millions and billions of which occupy only an inch of space, is certainly very amazing. Men with a poor fund of knowledge and men who are austere, who are not austere, cannot understand the wonders of the individual atomic spark of spirit, even though it is explained by the greatest authority of knowledge, who imparted lessons even to Brahma, the first living being in the universe. Who is the supreme authority of knowledge, who imparted knowledge to Brahma? Who is it? Who knows?
Creator of the universe.
Who is this? Who imparted knowledge to Lord Brahma?
Krishna.
Yes. Are you sure? Wasn't it Lord Vishnu? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Lord Brahma was born on a lotus which grew on the navel of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, you remember. So who was it? Was it Vishnu or was it Krishna? Who imparted knowledge to Lord Brahma?
Vishnu.
Now you changed. So, Lord Brahma appeared on the lotus and he was very bewildered in the beginning of the universe. He was very bewildered. He looked all around and everything was dark because this universe is dark. Without the light of the sun, without the light of Krishna's sun, this universe is totally dark. So Lord Brahma came into a very dark universe and he was very bewildered. And then he heard a sound. Who knows what did he hear? What did Brahma heard?
Tapa,
perform austerities. And Lord Brahma performed austerities for 1,000 years of his age. You know, Lord Brahma's days are millions of years for us. It's very, very long time. So he performed for 1,000 years austerities. And what happened then? What happened after 1,000 years of austerities of Lord Brahma? Who can tell me? Krishna appeared to him and imparted him the Vedic knowledge. He imparted the Vedic knowledge from within the heart to him. He gave the Vedic knowledge, all knowledge which you see in this world, all knowledge which is available. When we speak of knowledge in spiritual life, we speak about spiritual knowledge, not material knowledge. Krishna did not impart the knowledge to Lord Brahma how he can order a phone in Amazon. He imparted knowledge of the soul, the real knowledge, the knowledge which is absolutely needed. That's the knowledge he imparted from within the heart of to Lord Brahma. These Krishna spoke in very short terms. He gave four verses. These four verses are called the Chatur Shloki, and you will find them in Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto. So if you read Srimad Bhagavatam's second canto, this is what I'm speaking about. Then Krishna imparted this Vedic knowledge to him, and he told him, now you meditate on this. So Lord Brahma meditated for another 1,000 of his life, and then he was enlightened. Nowadays, we go to a small course somewhere in Ihaka, and we think we know everything. Lord Brahma had to perform so long austerities and meditate on what he learned for thousands of years, and then he got the knowledge how to create this universe. So, and on which basis he built all that knowledge? On which basis did he create this universe? On the basis of spiritual knowledge, which he received from Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna is so kind that he is also speaking the same knowledge to Arjuna in the middle of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and now we are hearing it, especially infused with all the important explanations of Srila Prabhupada. So I read on in the purport. Owing to a gross material conception of things, most men in this age cannot imagine how such a small particle can become both so great and so small. We were speaking about the seed, which was in the heart of an amoeba or a bacteria, or the one which is in a huge banyan tree. So men look at the soul proper as wonderful, either by constitution or by description. Illusioned by the material energy, people are so engrossed in subject matters for sense gratification that they have very little time to understand the question of self-understanding, even though it is a fact that without the self-understanding, all activities result in ultimate defeat in the struggle for existence. Perhaps they have no idea that one must think of the soul and thus make a solution to the material miseries. Most people are inclined to hear about the soul, maybe attending lectures in good association, but sometimes, owing to ignorance, they are misguided by acceptance of the super soul and the atomic soul as one without distinction of magnitude. It is very difficult to find a man who perfectly understands the position of the super soul, the atomic soul, the respective functions and relationships, and all other major and minor details. And it is still more difficult to find a man who has actually derived full benefit from knowledge of the soul, and who is able to describe the position of the soul in different aspects. But if, somehow or other, one is able to understand the subject matter of the soul, then one's life is successful. Srila Prabhupada is stressing this point very importantly. It's stressing on this point because it is very important. If we do not understand what is self-realization, what we are, who we are, then we will be lost in the material knowledge or even so-called spiritual knowledge. Srila Prabhupada is addressing the point that many spiritualists, they get lost, they do not get the right understanding, or they even get misguided by identifying the soul and the super soul together. We know, especially in India, the Mayavadi philosophy is very much spread out, and many think that by performing some kind of yoga or some kind of meditation or penances, you can become God. You can yourself become the super soul. They think this is the perfection. You are now a small soul, and if you do some meditation, you can become God. You can become the supreme soul. This is a wrong understanding, because we are always individual souls. And there is always this situation between us and Krishna. He is Parabrahman, and we are Jivatma. We are small living entities. We can become very spiritualized and interact with him if we practice spiritual life. But that practice will not make us God. It will make us a perfect servant and associate of God. And this is the goal of Krishna consciousness. I read on to the purport to the end. The easiest process for understanding the subject matter of self, however, is to accept the statements of Bhagavad Gita spoken by the greatest authority, Lord Krishna, without being deviated by other theories. But it also requires that great deal of penance and sacrifice, either in this life or in the previous ones, before one is able to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna can, however, be known as such by the causeless mercy of the pure devotee and by no other way. So now Srila Prabhupada is pointing out in a very, very important and interesting point that actually Krishna is very, very difficult to attain. But if you get the mercy of a pure devotee, you can easily attain Krishna. Shri Chaitanya Mano Prishtam Svartam Jena Bhattara Swayam Bhattara Mahyam Kavarati Swapadam Diham Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinami Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Srimyavani Kasyatya Vishatarine Vanchakal Patru Vyasya Kripazandu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivedanta Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Some look on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing, and some hear of him as amazing, while others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. So about 600 years ago, there lived a very great devotee of Lord Krishna, who was one of the acharyas in our sampradaya. If you look at the end of the introduction to Bhagavad Gita, you will see the list of our sampradaya. Sampradaya means the cyclic succession. It starts with Krishna, and in our book it ends with Srila Prabhupada, but of course the sampradaya and the cyclic succession is something which goes on. As long as there are devotees, authorized devotees, this will go on. So, if you look at here, on number 18, it's the name of a very great and wonderful devotee called Vyasa Tirtha. Srila Vyasa Tirtha was a very great acharya. He was even the spiritual master of Lakshmipati Tirtha, who later on became the Diksha Guru of Lord Nityananda. So, Srila Vyasa Tirtha, at the time where they were practicing Krishna consciousness, the caste system was very prominent in India. You know, there is this caste systems of Brahmana, Vaishya, Shudra, you know, this system which was existing. Actually, caste system is a perverted reflection of Varna Ashram Dharma, which is created by Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Chatur Varnam Maya Shishtam, I have created the four varnas and four ashram system. This is good. This is good for the society to work according to this. But when it is perverted, then it becomes a disturbance in the society, which was the caste system. Fortunately, it's not very prominent anymore, but still there are some places in India where people are still following that. So at the time of Srila Vyasa Tirtha, it was very prominent. So Srila Vyasa Tirtha, being a born Brahmana himself, he was a great teacher, and he had a very nice Gurukul at his village, and he was teaching Brahmana boys. he was teaching some young men in the practice of Krishna consciousness and Brahmanical culture. So all these people were very much absorbed in this Brahmana understandings, which was a very sattvic life and Krishna conscious life. But one important point was missing in them. One day, a young man came to the ashram of Srila Vyasatirtha. He was not a Brahmana. He was coming from a very simple Shudra family, worker class. And he was very eager because he heard that if you attain the mercy of Srila Vyasatirtha, like Prabhupada was explaining to me in this purport, it's very difficult to attain Krishna, but if you attain the mercy of a pure devotee, it's very easy. So he heard this and he thought, I like to become Krishna conscious. And he came to Srila Vyasatirtha and he said, in his simple words, because he was a village boy, he didn't speak very high class Sanskrit or, you know, very high class terms. But in a very simple voice and very honestly, he said, oh Acharya Dev, I want you to teach me about Krishna. Please give me some job. In other words, he wanted to serve. He wanted to serve the great Acharya. And Srila Vyasatirtha, being a self-realized soul, he could see that this is a wonderful soul who has taken shelter here. But he knew if he would accept him, then the whole society would become disturbed. So in order to not disturb the mind of others, and also didn't want to reject him, he told him, so if you like to become Krishna conscious and you like to serve, I have a cowshed here and I want you to clean the cows and feed the cows and, you know, clean the cow dungs from there, like that. And this young man, he became so overjoyed with happiness. He paid his obeisances and he was very thankful that he received this service. And but when other Brahmana boys, they heard that Gurudev accepted a Shudra in our school, they became very confused. They came and they were respectful, but they became confused and they said, I don't understand. We are all here Brahmanas. Why is this Shudra coming to our school? You know, how can you accept a Shudra? And he said, well, I didn't really accept him. I just told him to clean the cowshed. Anyway, you Brahmana boys, you don't like to touch the stool of the cow. So I just let him clean the cowshed. And when they heard this, okay, yeah, actually, yeah, he can clean the shit. It's okay. No problem. So then... But this boy, he was doing his service with the cows, and he was still very eager to start chanting the holy names of Krishna because he knew all the other boys are chanting, but he didn't get a mantra. At that time, it was very clear to people that without receiving the mantra through the guru, through Sampradaya, this mantra will not work very well, you know? There is this famous verse, it says... Sampradaya vinena hai mantrastu nishpalam mataha. Yeah. If you don't receive if you don't receive the mantra through the sampradaya from Acharya Dev, then this chanting of this mantra will not be fruitful. There will not be so much result. So you should always receive the mantra from Guru. So he always went to Guru and after some time he said, yeah, Acharya Dev, I really like to get the mantra from you. And all these Brahmana boys became alarmed again. Oh, now he's going to get mantra. So then Srila Vyasadeva, being very diplomatic and very careful, he didn't want to reject him and he didn't want to disturb the others. He told him, so you're taking care of the cows, just like Krishna is always taking care of the cows. Krishna is the supreme cowherd boy. So I want you to start chanting the mantra Mahisha. Mahisha means buffalo, because they had some buffaloes there. So whenever you do your service, you just always chant Mahisha, Mahisha, Mahisha. So he said, okay, I got some mantra. I'm going to start step by step. I just get this mantra now. So he was patient. So he went there and he started cleaning the cows and doing his job. And he would go and take a bucket of water and splash it on the buffaloes and wash them and clean them very nice. And he was chanting, Mahisha, Mahisha. So he was very happy. Once he was chanting so ecstatically, Mahisha, Mahisha, suddenly a huge bull appeared. This was the Nandishwara, the carrier of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva rides on a bull. So he was chanting, Mahisha, Mahisha, suddenly this bull appeared. And all these Brahmana boys, they became so amazed. Wow, why is the bull of Lord Shiva coming here to our ashram? What happened? And then he said, I'm sorry, Gurudev, I made a mistake. I was chanting and then this big bull appeared. What shall I do with him? He said, well, now he's here, maybe you can help and take this huge bedrock which is standing in the middle of the road, and maybe this bull can pull it away and then we can have a nice road here. So he did that. He asked Nandishwara to please remove the bedrock. So that's what he did. So after this, he understood the power of mantra coming through Guru. So he went again and he said, so now I was chanting this, you know, Mahisha, and then this huge bull appeared. Maybe you should give me a mantra, Krishna. And Srila Vyasadeva was in a really difficult situation. He could not say yes, he could not say no. So one day, he went and brought water, and he was splashing on the cows and washing. And these boys were looking at him. He's actually splashing the water from the bucket, but the bucket is always full. He never goes and fetch water again. So they were looking and looking and looking. They couldn't understand what's going on. And so they went to Acharyadeva and told him, there is something fishy here. There's something going wrong. This boy is a little strange. He never fetches water. There's always water in the bucket. So Srila Vyasatirtha, he came there and he saw what is happening there. And he started crying. And they said, what happened? He said, actually, whenever he splashes water, Krishna personally comes and takes the bucket, brings water and gives it to him so that he can do his service. Krishna is helping him. And they would say, why would Krishna come and, you know, bring water for him to clean the cows? And he said, well, Krishna is a coward boy. He loves cows. Of course he will help any devotee who wants to serve cows. Why not? So then everybody was very amazed and they realized that actually this is a very great soul. Even he may be born in a Shudra family, he is still an amazing soul. Amazing, like it's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Every soul is an amazing personality. So then Srila Vyasatirtha initiated in chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And they of course understood. We are not these bodies. We may be, you know, in these bodies for some time. But actually every one of us, every living entity is an amazing living entity. And if you just imagine your own life, you know, every one of us, our life is actually amazing. If you just think about it, at this moment we are sitting here, our heart is pumping, our lungs are working, our digestion is working. All of these intricated, you know, all these complicated systems in our body, they're working. We don't have to do anything about it. They are working by themselves. Isn't this amazing? That everything is happening on its own. But it's only happening because of the amazing soul in this material body. If the soul leaves the body, this body becomes just a useless matter. And everyone can realize it's nothing, it's useless, it's a dead body. But as long as the soul is within the body, then the body becomes very valuable. And we learn all this knowledge from the Bhagavad Gita, that these physical life symptoms that we see, they are all based on the consciousness, they are all based on the soul, and that the matter is just a covering. Most people in this world, they think that you know, their body is just a matter and everything is happening because of some chemical interactions within the body, and they don't realize that the spirit soul is our real self. And we may not be aware of this, but most of the people, they just identify with this body. Srila Prabhupada was born in 1896. So he was once telling something a little funny to his disciples, that the first time radio came to India, the first time he saw a radio, he was a small boy, and he thought, wow, there must be some small people inside this big box. Radio was a big box. He must be some small people inside it. But then he realized that, you know, he once the radio was broken and somebody was fixing it, so they had to open it, and he saw there was nothing inside it, just some electronics. And he realized, yeah, it's no human beings there. By dismantling a radio, you cannot really understand. A radio technician maybe can explain to you the subtle knowledge of radio waves, but it's not in the box. The sound and the music is not coming from the really from the box. It's going through the box, but it's not really originating in the box. So Prabhupada was using this interesting example to tell, if you dismantle the body, you will see the different parts of the body, but you will not really understand the soul. That's why material knowledge is not sufficient to give you the proper understanding of the soul. It's just like if I want to understand about flowers. If I want to understand about flowers, I have to go through the science of horticulture. I cannot do it with mathematics. You know, with mathematics, you can maybe count the flowers. But you will not understand the different kind of flowers. That you have to use other kind of science. Otherwise, you will just limit yourself to a very limited way of understanding the flowers by using another science. So similarly, in order to understand existence and self-realization, we have to understand the knowledge of the soul, which is being taught by Krishna. Everything else, all the other knowledge about the matter, is actually considered ignorance. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is putting so much stress on the knowledge of the soul. And he also explains that we may be very much attached to the material concept of life. And we may be very absorbed in the thought that I am the body, and life simply means to enjoy this body while we have it, then that is Maya. That is actually totally illusion. When our consciousness is in its original spiritual state, we can overcome that illusion. Otherwise, we will remain in the illusion. And we always think that this matter is us. Why do we do that? Because we are spirit souls, and we like to think that whatever we realize and whatever we percept, whatever we see, feel, that is the truth. But we are using a wrong science. We are using a very limited material science to understand the self. So in terms of Bhagavad Gita knowledge, this separate knowledge of the matter from spirit, this is clearly an incomplete way of understanding the soul or the personality. For that we have to use a holistic method. So similarly, if we take the body for the sake of that illusion, then it becomes very difficult to understand. Krishna says, Daivihi esha gunamai mama maya durakeya. If to overcome this material understanding, it's very difficult. You really need a lot of mercy to understand it. And especially he says, this divine energy of mine, which is consisting of the three modes of material nature, it is very difficult to understand and to overcome. So who knows the three modes of material nature? Can somebody please explain to me? Rooney?
Goodness, passion, and ignorance?
Yes, these are the three modes of material nature, but what I really want to hear is, what is it? What is this three modes of material nature? Is this the name of it you named? Yes, thank you.
But they are conditioning the soul to a certain degree. So this has some energies which make you feel happy, you're happy. But that's goodness. But that's not really transcendental. It is, it conditions you to be feel happy, but there's also another energy which makes you very, you could say, lusty after energy, which is more like passion. And then there's tamagun, which is conditioning you to not really see much of what this world is all about.
Yes, thank you. So, Krishna, there is different ways of explaining this. Krishna uses the word guna, which means rope. Krishna says this material world is like a rope. So in a rope, there are different lines. So one line is the mode of goodness, the other one is the mode of passion, the other one is the mode of ignorance. Sattva gun, rajagun, tamagun, these three. And the point is, in the material world, these three are always intertwined, just like a rope has always is intertwined, and it's always turning, and it's almost never the case that we are totally in goodness. If you're totally in pure goodness, then you are not in this material world anymore. It's not that we are totally in ignorance. If you're totally in ignorance, then you are dead. So it's always a little bit here, a little bit there. It's just like there are three stages of existence. It's wakefulness, dream, and sleep. So sometimes when you're sleeping, you just wake up, look at the clock, and then go back to sleep. Sometimes when you're sleeping, you're dreaming. So this is compared to these three modes of material nature. When you have dreamless sleep, deep sleep, then that's like ignorance. It's more ignorance than everything else. And then you wake up a little bit, look at the clock. That's a little mode of goodness. You woke up, but then you go back to sleep. And then you start dreaming. Dreaming is compared to the mode of rajagun, passion, because there's something happening. So sometimes we are sleeping, and in our dream, we see ourselves in being somewhere else, doing something else, visiting other people or other places. And we totally forget that just a few hours ago, I came to my apartment, I went to bed, in my bed. You don't think about that anymore. Because at this moment, you are somewhere in Mallorca and under the sun. Something like that. Some dream. When you wake up, most of the times, we maybe remember a little bit of the dream, but then we forget it during the day. You don't think about anymore about what you dreamt. You don't think about the body which you had in Mallorca having some sun bath. You don't think about that anymore. It's not anymore real. What is real is your life now. Now, in your wakeful state. So, we are all the time going through this three different stages of life. Every day we are doing this. Sometimes we are in the illusion that while our body is lying here, we are somewhere else. That's actually illusion. It's not true, because you are here. And sometimes when you are here awake, you don't remember what happened there. So sometimes that body is real, and sometimes this body is real. So which one is real? I'm asking you, which body is real? The one in which I'm awake or the one I'm sleeping? Which one is real? Because when you're sleeping, that's real. When you're dreaming, it's totally real to you. Which is real? Tell me. Who can tell me which one is real? Yes.
I think it actually depends on the perception of the moment. So when you experience something in the moment, that's the reality for you.
So that is reality?
for you?
So when you are dreaming and you perceive like something totally different, like for example like swimming in the ocean, and that in that moment it's reality for you.
And this is truth?
Truth.
Is this the truth? That reality which you perceive now is the truth? You may think it's truth, but it's not, it's illusion. Mm. Actually, all this in your wakefulness or your dream state, this is all the illusion which we perceive in this material world. The reality is that we are an eternal spirit soul, mm. and we are stuck in this sleeping body or awakening body.
But what happens when we dream of Krishna, like serving Krishna or something?
That is another question. First of all, Krishna doesn't go to the dream of everyone. He has the sweet right and the sweet will of appearing wherever he likes. So it's possible, but generally he doesn't go where there's a lot of garbage there. So we have to really purify our heart and mind a lot before Krishna appears. But once he appears, you will never want to go anywhere else. The truth is that Krishna is actually right now here everywhere. He is here right now in this room. He is actually in the heart of all of us. He sees the past, present, future. Can you imagine his vision? He sees all of us from our past, present, and future for the whole eternality. And he sees me through the eyes of Karuna. He sees me through the eyes of India. He sees me through the eyes of everyone. He must have a very fantastic vision. And there is no place I can hide. And there is no need. Because Krishna is my best friend. Why should I want to hide from him? But what I wanted to say is that the soul is trapped, life after life, in these three levels of existence. Rajagun, Tamagun, Sattvagun. And all living entities are trapped. Just imagine, you know, there are immobile living entities like trees or even amoebas and bacteria. They don't even know they are existing. They're quite unconscious. Very little consciousness is there. And there's not much activities going on. And whatever is going on is very illusory. So they are quite wrapped up in their ignorance. But in the case of human beings who have a very advanced mind, advanced intelligence, so there is a chance of getting out of this Swapna Loka, of this sleep Loka, of this material world and the material influences. There is some chance to get out of that dream. Because also the human form of life, if we wake up, you know, sometimes you see some philosophers, he wakes up. He comes to an interesting knowledge. He writes even a book about it, but then he goes back to sleep. Like the man who woke up and just watched, look at the clock, and goes back to sleep. So many of material philosophers, sometimes they wake up to the reality that actually this material world is an illusion, but they don't really impart transcendental knowledge to you. They tell you, it's an illusion here, but what is the solution? They cannot offer Jnana Chakshusha to you. They cannot offer eye-opening knowledge which is delivered by the Lord to us. Because this transcendental knowledge is actually all what we need. All these other knowledges, they may help us a little bit. They may inspire us a little bit to some degree. Even in spiritual life, I have seen sometimes some speakers are speaking very nicely. I try to get as much as positive energy I can get and use it in Krishna service. Others may do different thing with that knowledge, with the same knowledge. Devotees try to see how they can serve Krishna with whatever good is coming. We are not depressive people. We are happy people and like to use whatever we can get from this world and use it in Krishna service, because everything belongs to Krishna and we can show that to Krishna by putting that in the service of Krishna and engaging everything in the service of Krishna. Because although our body is matter and our soul is spirit, they don't mix. you know, the spirit soul is always free. It's always not really mixed with the matter. It's just like if you put some oil inside a cup of water. What happens? What happens if you put some oil in the water? Answer. Yeah, oil remains on top of the water. It never mixes. Srila Prabhupada gave this example that you put oil on water, it never mixes. But still, if you throw away the water, the oil is also gone. So if we are very much engrossed in a material consciousness, our soul can be really carried away by the material energy. It can be so much in Maya that we can hardly awaken again. Therefore, it is very important that we keep good association, that we understand this knowledge which is given by the Lord mercifully to us in this way or that way or another way. Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita. There are so many nice examples in Srimad Bhagavatam. I remember in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's two really interesting examples about the reality of the soul. There is an example of a river flowing. So when a river flows, you always think, okay, this is the same water. But actually, in reality, every second there's another molecules of water there. They are just passing. It's not the same river. So reality is that you look at the river, every second it's another river. It's not the same river. It's not the same water. Or another example is given of the flame, the fire. At that moment, it's one fire, but then it's burned, it's gone. Then the next one comes. But it goes so fast that we think it's the same flame. So similarly, every morning we stand in front of the mirror to put tilak on or whatever. We think this is the same body. But in reality, our body is changing. Every second it's changing. Material science says every seven years you change, all the cells of the body are renewed, so to say. But Bhagavad Gita says it's happening all the time. It's happening all the time that our body is changing. But what is not changing is me. It's the feeling I am the same person. So this is called spiritual knowledge versus the material knowledge. The material knowledge, which is more or less ignorance. So what happens when you put ignorance and religion together? What happens? Yes?
Fanatism.
Terrorism. You put, you know, ignorance and religion together, very bad mixture. You have all this terrorism, fanaticism. Prabhupada says, you know, religion without philosophy, without knowledge, is just fanaticism. What happens if you put ignorance and poverty together? It becomes crime. Yeah, people start doing violent things because they're ignorant and they have no money. They want to take it away from others. What happens if you put ignorance and power together? Well, it becomes tyranny. You start giving a hard time to everybody else. You become a very bad autocrat. What happens if you put ignorance and freedom together? It becomes chaos. You see how bad ignorance is? Ignorance is actually the biggest problem. You put ignorance and money together, it becomes corruption. Because the person who's ignorant and has a lot of money, he becomes a corrupt man and does everything in a not very nice way. Ignorance is the root of all evil in this material world. And therefore the key is education. And what does Krishna does? He gives us Bhagavad Gita. He gives us spiritual knowledge. And he tells us, this is actually the most important thing you should do in this world. This is the most important thing you should learn. He says, In Bhagavad Gita, I read for you, 1871, he says something very nice. In 1870, he says, "And I declare that he who studies this sacred conversation of ours worships me by his intelligence." Actually, while we are hearing Bhagavad Gita, we are worshiping Krishna with our intelligence. You can worship Krishna with your body. You can worship Krishna with your mind. In your mind, you can think about Krishna. In your mind, you can go to a holy place. In your mind, you can pay your obeisances, chant and pray to the Lord. All this is accepted. All this is real. Prabhupada insisted again and again that devotees should become meditative and they should think about the holy Dham of Vrindavan Dham. They should think about Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhava Mat Bhaktu, you should always think of me. By thinking about Krishna, you are worshipping Krishna with your mind. You are worshipping Krishna by your intelligence, by reading the Bhagavad Gita. And he said, and one who listens with faith and without envy becomes free from the sinful reaction and attains the auspicious planets where the pious dwell. That means, ultimately, by becoming a self-realized soul, you will realize that you are not this body, that you are an eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and that your eternal occupation is to serve Krishna. Actually, we are all born as servants. We like it or we don't like it. We are all the time serving our children, our family, our society, our nation. I had to go to military services for 2 years. I didn't even want it, but I had to. We are servants. We have to do it. So if you do it with pleasure, then you can be happy. And if you struggle under it, then you're struggling. Then you're not happy about it. But once we accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and practice devotional service, at one point we become self-realized. The idea is, especially in this age of Kali, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, which is non-different from Krishna. Please don't make a mistake. Krishna's name is not a symbol of Krishna. It's not that Krishna's name is an expansion of Krishna. Krishna's name is Advaya Tattva. It's non-different from Krishna. It's Krishna himself. Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan. So in this age of Kali, the easiest way to attract Krishna's attention, Srila Prabhupada used to say, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj used to say, don't try to see Krishna with your eyes. Try to do something that Krishna wants to see you. Yeah. This is very important instruction. If we try by our own material eyes, by our own speculative mind to see Krishna, then we will not be very successful. But if we attract Krishna's attention, if we please Krishna by serving him in a very loving attitude, favorable attitude, especially by chanting Hare
Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Avoiding all offenses to the holy name, avoiding all offenses to the devotees, being always very kind to others, kind to the devotees especially, then you will attract Krishna's attention. Then he will gladly come to your dream. Then he will gladly appear before you. And he will gladly be your friend, just like he was the friend of Arjuna. What did Krishna do to Arjuna? He imparted him transcendental knowledge and then told him, now do as you wish. Krishna didn't force Arjuna. He told him, this war is done. You want to take part, you don't want to take part, do as you wish. But because Arjuna was an intelligent person, he realized that by following Krishna's advice, Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha, always think of Krishna and then do your activity. Do your job. Devotees of Krishna are not lazy men. They are very active. Devotional service means activity. Sometimes other Hindus or some Vaishnava schools, they translate the word bhakti as devotion or love. But Srila Prabhupada repeatedly translates the word bhakti or bhakti yoga as devotional service. Service means you do something. You do something favorable for the master. You are not just doing lip service. You are doing also something with your body. You use your body in devotional service of the Lord. You use your body to spread Krishna consciousness. I remember when I was a young devotee, when I joined the temple in 1985. That was a long time ago, 34 years ago. When I joined the temple, I don't know, first or second day, Bhakti Vaibhava Maharaj was giving a class. At that time, he was not a sannyasi. His name was Avinash Chandra Guru, and we loved him so much. And he was telling all us new bhaktas, you're all leaders of the society. And I was thinking, what? But it was inspiring to hear that even a young person with not much experience can become a leader in the society by teaching Krishna consciousness to others. So we should be eager to serve Krishna by connecting other living entities to Krishna, bringing devotees to Krishna. Do you know whose service that is? Who is doing that? In Goloka Vrindavan, who is bringing people to Krishna? Radharani, Srimati Radharani, brings other devotees to Krishna. Why? Why? Because this is the best thing you can do. You introduce Krishna to others. This is the best thing any one of us can do with our lives. We can do so many things in our lives. But if we can bring Krishna to the attention of someone else and connect the living entities with Krishna by giving them prasadam, by introducing the beautiful performances of devotional service, offering of flowers to Krishna, or bringing them in the association of devotees, we can save lives. We can save the spiritual life of the people. Because people in this material world, they are not properly engaged, and therefore they are not happy. Many people are lost. They are walking on the streets, but they are lost. And they need help. And they cannot even agree to that they need help. But if we become kind to them and invite them to join the temple, join the association of devotees, start chanting the holy name, stop killing animals, and offering everything in the service of the Lord, then their life becomes very sublime, just like our lives has become much better, much more sublime than it was in the past. So, I think I have said what I wanted to say. If you have any comments or questions, please. Please.
Thank you for the lecture. It was a very beautiful explanation of Bhagavad Gita. But one moment, it made me confused about you explained that when we are dreaming, we are in illusion, and when we wake up, we are also an illusion in this material world. But I have heard many times that this material world is real, just temporary. Yeah.
No, we need it for the parents.
Maybe he can.
We cannot understand anything. Okay, just repeat your question.
Yeah, you told us that this material world is illusion, like when we are sleeping.
That's not what I said.
Maybe it's, yeah, okay.
What I said, that if you think that the body in sleep is real, that is illusion. If you think that the body in wakefulness is everything. If you don't understand the knowledge of the soul, that is illusion. That is correct. The material world is not false. It's not illusion. It is illusory. It puts us in illusion. Why is it not false? Because it's Krishna's energy. Krishna. Generally, we say Krishna has one energy, that is Swarup Shakti or Parashakti, personified by Srimati Radharani. But in order for our understanding, this Swarup Shakti of Krishna is explained in three phases: marginal, internal, and external. Yogamaya, Mahamaya, and Tattvastha Shakti. And of course, Krishna has multifarious energies. He has so many more energies. It's a very intricate, complicated explanation. If you're very interested, it is described in Chaitanya Shiksha Amrita by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He explains so many Shaktis. So thank you for the question. Yes, this material world is not illusion. It is real.
You were talking about the three modes of
material nature. And we know from Bhagavad Gita that you also quoted the verse that it's actually divine energy. You just
so,
and then you also explained that how when you mix things together, if you mix ignorance together, if you mix this this energy of Krishna together with something in this world, then it becomes very bad. So I wanted to understand, because Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that it's a divine transcendental energy. It is this material energy is divine. So what does it make it bad? I mean, if something is transcendental, how can it become so bad that it kind of illusions
the combination?
So deep, yeah.
The combination makes it bad because, see, Mahamaya, being Krishna's energy, is as powerful as Krishna to us. So there's no chance of us being able to defeat Maya. Understand? Krishna's energy is as powerful as Krishna for us. For Krishna, it's not a problem because it's his energy. He can pull it here and there, whatever he likes to do. But if we engage the Mahamaya and mix it with ignorance, ignorance means not knowing that you are a spirit soul, not knowing what is your business. If you are improperly engaged, if you are always absorbed in self, in sense gratification, instead of your real constitutional position of serving Krishna, if you waste your life due to ignorance, then it can become very strongly bad. It's strong because it's Krishna's energy, and due to the ignorance, it will pull you down. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very interesting scene. If I don't know if you remember, Maharaj Priyavrata was the son of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma was the creator of the universe, and he wanted his sons to become the progenitors of all the living entities in this material world. So at one point, he would just talk to his different sons, and he would tell them to become, you know, get wife and get some kids. Create living entities and fill up this universe with life. So some of his sons, they didn't want, like the four Kumaras, they said, no, we are brahmacharis, we don't want to marry. We are happy in celibacy. So in the case of the Kumaras, Lord Brahma became so angry that his third eye opened and Lord Rudra jumped out and started destroying the whole universe. And then there was this whole scene how to stop Lord Shiva from destroying the universe. It didn't even start. And then came Maharaj Priyavrata. Maharaj Priyavrata was a very great devotee and a son of Swayambhuva Manu. And his job was to become the progenitor, but he didn't want to do it. And then Lord Brahma had to come there and convince him, come on, why you don't want? And he said, well, I don't want to fall into Maya. I want to be Krishna conscious. I don't want to be engaged in material activities of creating home and kids and this and that. I want to act as a saintly king, but I don't want to have marriage and all that stuff. And Lord Brahma said, don't worry. You do that and nothing will happen to you. You will be protected. But then he did that and he fell totally into Maya. So then there was this question. Maharaj Parikshit asked this question to Shukadeva Goswami. What happened? Lord Brahma told him nothing will happen to you, but then he got totally entangled in this material world. Then Shukadeva Goswami explained that although he, from the outward, he became entangled, but he was totally protected. He was totally protected by the mercy of Lord Brahma, because Lord Brahma is also a great acharya. He engaged him in fulfilling the mission, but he was also protected. And in one purport, Prabhupada is explaining something very interesting. Thank you for asking this question. I just remember this. I have to say it now. Prabhupada explains the material energy in another way. He says material energy has the avaranatmika shakti and prakshepatmika shakti. Avaranatmika shakti is the energy which pulls you down, and prakshepatmika shakti is the energy which covers you. First you fall down, and then you're covered. And then Prabhupada says, so what happens? How can we run away from Maya? And then Srila Prabhupada explains that you can overcome this being pulled down to the material platform by always hearing about Krishna. And you can be liberated from being covered by this material energy by being in the association of devotees. So if you stay in the association of devotees and perform devotional service, you can protect yourself from this avaranatmika shakti and prakshepatmika shakti. You can protect yourself from Maya, simply said. Did I answer your question?
So you could say that Krishna's material energy is a divine energy, that's
yes.
From him, but it is our own misuse of that energy and our own internal mentality which makes it.
Yeah,
so
if
we are
too
us.
Absorbed in ignorance and not learn this, if we don't read the spiritual scriptures and just go through life with ignorance, then we can easily fall down. That's why it is very important that we chant the holy names, but it's also important that we hear and we read Srila Prabhupada's books. That's why he wrote these books, to give us this knowledge. That's why Lord Krishna appears to give us Bhagavad Gita. And Lord Chaitanya appears to give us the holy name and more mercy. So it's all important. We want to be protected from Maya. What do we do? What did you just learn? Prakshapatmika? What was it you say?
Being in the association of Vaishnavas
and hearing the transcendental knowledge, and also preaching it to others, speaking about it to others. The more you give, the more you have. This is the spiritual logic. In the material world, you give more, then you don't have. You have less. But in the spiritual life, the more you give, the more you have.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, you said that you did military, shall I also? You said that you did military service. Has you already been Krishna consciousness at that time, and how did you justify doing it?
I didn't, first of all, I was not in Krishna consciousness at that time. I was a young man, not even met devotees at that time. And second of all, Krishna protected me so much by putting me in the office, and I was all the time doing some office work. Just in the beginning, we learn how to use Gedrai, and that's it. I never did anything. I sat in the office, and since then I'm in some offices. Even by devotees, I'm working in some office.
Okay, because me and a friend were discussing it, that I think in Switzerland they have military service to do. And so what is about like people who get like Vaishnavas at 18 or 19 and are already practicing, and do you know if they go then or if they have a chance to make?
Well, sometimes in life you cannot avoid a difficult situation, but what you can do is always take shelter of Krishna and pray to Krishna. And I have seen sometimes Gadara had to go to the military services, but they let him go after 1 month. They said, oh, better he's not here. So it happens. If somehow or other Krishna is merciful to you, you can avoid it.
But sometimes we have to go through a difficult phase of our life. It happens to everybody. This is the influence of the stars and our own karma. We bring a karma into this life, otherwise we wouldn't be here. So due to your karma, you are now here, and you can make the best use of the bad bargain, as Srila Prabhupada said. Just try to do best, as good as you can. You know, even if you cannot do anything, you can put tilak and just chant. You can chant in your mind, even if you cannot speak it loud. That's the good thing about Krishna consciousness. You don't need to have money, or it doesn't have to be in this dress or that dress. You don't have to do... It's not external. It's Krishna consciousness. It's in your consciousness. It's something you can do within. You can always think of Krishna, and even in your thoughts, you can offer some food to Krishna. Maybe most of you have heard the story of the Brahmana in South India who was super poor. He didn't have anything, and he went to a lecture, and some teacher was speaking, and he said, you can offer food to Krishna in your mind. So what did he do? In his mind, he was sitting, and he was meditating that he is going to purchase some rice, wash the rice very nicely, cook the rice, add some milk, cook it nicely, make a beautiful milk rice. And generally in India, because it's very hot, it's very nice to offer a cold, cool milk rice to Krishna as a dessert. So he cooked this milk rice and he thought, so let me see if it's hot or is it cool enough that I can offer it to Krishna. In his mind, there was nothing there. He was just thinking. And then he touched the pot and suddenly he burned his finger. And because of this burning feeling, his meditation broke. And then he looked and he saw his fingers burned. There was no pot, there was no heat, there was nothing. He was just meditating. But because it was so real and he was doing it so good, that Krishna even accepted that. And this story brought him back to Krishna, you know. Because actually the original story was that Lord Vishnu was sitting in Vaikuntha, and he suddenly started laughing, and everybody said, what happened? He said, well, there's this guy there, you know, he's making some offering. And he burned his finger, and I just laughed. So then he sent the airplane, Vaikuntha airplane, to bring him to him. So Krishna even accepts anything. But why? Because, see, our body is made out of eight elements, and one of them is the mind. So in the mind you can offer service to Krishna, just like we can offer service to Krishna with our intelligence by reading Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a kind of worship. With our mind we can serve Krishna, purchase some flowers and offer it to Krishna in your mind, if you have nothing else. But of course, if you can, you should go and get some flowers and some fruit and offer it nicely to Krishna. Not just in the mind, if it's possible, please do it. Also outside, yes, please.
Mike? Of what consequences is this, what you say, we are not this body? What does it mean for us?
If we are not the body, but if we are in the spiritual world, then we are the body, isn't it? And where is this I, where is this body in the spiritual world?
Well, our body in the spiritual world is already existing. It's here. It's within your heart. It's called the soul. When the soul is developed and purified, then that same soul is your spiritual body.
In the spiritual world,
but now we don't know it. Now it's covered by matter. Now we don't know it. But once you purify your soul, then it is revealed to you from within. Just like Krishna revealed the spiritual knowledge to Brahma from within, he will reveal it also to me and you one day. You're not very happy with my answer, I'm sorry. I don't make the rules.
The spiritual body is now here.
Yes.
It's not there.
Krishna is here. Everything is here. These limitations are our limitations. We are living.
I don't live 24 hours with Krishna. So how you can say Krishna is here?
Well,
I mean, I don't. What is it? I don't have a relationship with Krishna. I mean, a little bit.
Why am I seeing you since more than 30 years? If you don't have a relationship with Krishna, what are you doing here? I know you from Stuttgart, from so many years. Why? Why are you coming if you don't have a relationship? I think I know that you have some kind of relationship with Krishna. Maybe that's not very much to your satisfaction at this moment, but there is definitely some kind of love there. Nobody is paying you to come here. So I think you have some kind of relationship with Krishna. Maybe at this moment you are not very happy with your spiritual advancement, like me. And we all wish to be more Krishna conscious, but somehow or other, we are
actually blessed. The point I heard once, an example: if we go to prison, we take the prison clothes, our good clothes, we put it in the cupboard, and we go inside, we get in prison clothes. So we are here in prison clothes, this body, but if we go out again, we're getting a good the good clothes again, we are the civil clothes. So similar, somebody explained. If we go to the spiritual world, we get again this spiritual body. So I wonder now, what is this now? That
I did not hear this example, and I never read it in Prabhupada's books, but the point is our spirit soul, which is now kept in this cage of this body, is very much limited, cannot do very much, can only do a little bit. But once it's freed, then the real spiritual senses, they manifest. You may even get four arms. I don't know. We may even be able to act as one of Krishna's cows or flute or grass under his lotus feet. We don't know, because our spiritual situation is not dependent. It's very much dependent on Krishna's mercy. And of course, our own aspirations. It's both. So for a purified soul, I know that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, he explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises us to have the feeling of a servant. We should serve the Lord in Dasya Ras. Therefore, all of our devotees are called Karuna Sindhu Das, Bhagavad Dharma Das. We're all Das, we're all servants. And if you really absorb yourself in this mood of service, one day, while chanting the holy names, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will reveal to you your real spiritual identity. So this is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And I think, I hope that's correct. So we serve Krishna with the mood of service, with the mood of Dasya Ras, and the Lord will reveal to you. Maybe you're even a little more than that. Who knows? But thank you for your question. I'm sorry if I couldn't please you. Thank you.